Welcome to Shiny New Clients, the marketing podcast that helps you attract shiny new clients to your business. We'll talk about social media, what makes people buy, how to go viral, and marketing psychology, all in 20 minutes or less. Whether you're a coach, a stylist, or a wedding planner, if you've got a service-based business to sell, this is the show you need to fill your calendar. I'm Jenna Warner, your new marketing coach, and this is Shiny New Clients. It takes a lot of guts to show up online, and I am aware of that. And that's why on this show, I'm always trying to bring you tips you can use to show up boldly and fiercely and courageously on social media and also in your life. And I do think that it's a practice. And sometimes we can look at other people and it seems to come so naturally to them, but it can come naturally to you as well. And I want to help give you some tools so that you can. Today, I have with me Gina Phillips, who is a very multifaceted performer. She is a TV host. She is an actor, and she also is a small business owner as a personal trainer and fitness coach. And also, I love her, and I'm literally obsessed with her, and you will be too. This woman has the audacity in everything that she does, and that's what I've asked her to come here and talk to you about. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Jenna.
What's it like to have the literal audacity?
I didn't know I was so much like this and like other people weren't, because I like always think that everybody is just as kind of ballsy as I am, because I think everyone has exactly what it takes to be. Do you know what I mean?
We were just at an event with like 700 people. Gina walked to the front and tried to get a seat in the reserved section, just completely confidently like, well, maybe there's empty seats. I don't have the bravery all the time to do that. And you just turn it on.
Oh, that's so interesting. I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't ask, then you won't know for sure, right? So you could not ask and you'll for sure not have it, or you could ask and it might be like 50-50 at that point.
I think so many of us, we ask, and then if we get a no, we get embarrassed. And maybe that's programming. Why do we get embarrassed when we hear no, when really it's just, okay, move on to the next question?
Totally. Because oftentimes like those people are in those positions or, you know, in the reserved section to like answer those questions or to turn people away. It's not like they're offended.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Right? I think about this when I, because I'm a freelancer, so I'm always asking people if I can work for them. And when I was really young, I started out in TV news, which is not an easy industry to get started in. And I asked for a job when I was probably 18 at a TV station before I had any experience. I marched in there and I was like, what happens if you just ask? He said, wow, it was the news director. Wow, normally we don't accept anyone until they've done their broadcasting program. Okay. And I like watched the wheels turn in his head and I just kind of like stared him dead in the eyes as he figured it out. And then he said, well, technically we could call you a volunteer instead of an intern. Okay. So you're willing to do anything? And I was like, anything. He's like, great. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 a.m. to work on the breakfast show.
No way.
Yeah. So I just volunteered. I just started showing up. And so then eventually when someone went on vacation, they were like, well, Gina knows how because she's been around.
Do you know, this is actually a storyline from Boy Meets World.
Is it?
Yeah. Eric wants to be the weatherman so bad. So he gets a grunt job delivering coffee in that at the news station. But then one day the weatherman can't go on and then Eric steps in and he does the weather and it's like his lifelong dream.
Oh my, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. Like I truly started filling in on all these different positions, which is really good that I did that, because once I got on air, I knew how to do the other things. So I was more respected, right? Because if you just come in as talent, they're kind of like, oh, she doesn't know how to do anything.
Oh my gosh. So by not having what you wanted immediately, it actually served you.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, Jenna, like I failed really hard. I think back to some times that I was working in those news stations with limited experience. I effed up like repeatedly. I had breakdowns. Like one of my first jobs, and as you know, Jenna, like we're not great with numbers.
Numbers, no.
We're not numbers people.
No,
we're
one, good. 156.
Right. We know those ones. my job was to be in the control room, and I had a direct line to the earpiece of the talent. And it's a live show. It's the breakfast show. And I had to count down and keep them on time. So when there's 10 seconds left till we go to commercial, I have to be like, hi, Dave, 10 seconds left, 9, 8, 7, right?
So but stressful.
In order to do that, you have to be watching a time clock and have your own timer going, because there's like the time of the show, then there's the time of the segment, two different things. And you have to do the math in order to find out what the number is, what the special number is, and how much time is really left. And I would freeze up. I would burst into tears. Like one day I was like, I just can't do it. And then I remember I went in to the same news director and I said, I can't do it. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm just like really bad at it. And he goes, you know, you were really thrown in. I think what you need to do is just take time away and come back to it. And I was like, that's weird advice. I found it really strange, but I will never forget it. I stepped away and I think I went on Christmas break, like it just happened to line up. And then I came back and it's like my brain had done all the processing it had to do without the anxiety of the everyday. And I figured it out and I was able to do it competently after that.
I love that he clocked that.
Isn't that strange?
Maybe you were just too worked up because you hadn't had the, well, you know, you and I have a lot of conversations about rest and recovery in the fitness world.
Yes,
I don't want to
sidetrack
the conversation too much, but it's almost like from that heightened state and that high pressure environment, you needed the rest and recovery.
That is so true. I could not figure out my thoughts and I could not think clearly enough. I was too wrapped with anxiety for any of it to sink in. But then when I stepped away, it did sink in and I came back and it just was there.
I wonder if part of the reason you live so boldly and you're so unafraid to ask questions and have confidence is also from your time on the radio. Because when it's live, you don't have time to be offended by what someone says. You don't have time to backtrack. You just need to forge fully ahead all the time.
Oh my gosh, yes. So when I finally got on air, it's not like it was comfortable for me because I got thrown in on a national network to be a reporter on a live 24-hour news network. So I was on air again. Like, this sounds like I'm amazing. And it's not like I sailed through flawlessly. I messed up so many times, Jenna. Like, I literally on air said Arkansas instead of Arkansas.
That's the type of thing that makes it into TikTok, like videos of news reporters messing
up. Because I'd never seen it spelled before. Like when I was younger, right? And I didn't know a lot about the US. Again, please go easy on me, everyone. I was like 21 years old and I'm reading a tweet. My whole job was to read people's reaction. And I'm like, Arkansas. But that's just one of 100 mistakes that still haunt me to this day. But I'm like, well, you know, the weird thing is it didn't matter.
Yeah, it feels like it matters so much at the time.
Yes. The only thing that mattered is that I looked stupid. And maybe for a second, the network looked stupid for having me, but it didn't hurt anyone. And whereas like in news, you have to be really careful about other details. Like you do have to be very, you know, detail oriented. You have to make sure you're not, you know, informing a family of someone's death by accident by naming them, right? Like there's really serious implications when you mess up in news. But my mistakes were just these really silly, dumb things that didn't hurt anybody. And I guess maybe that gave me more confidence to go boldly ahead because you practice messing up so much.
So I have a theory. What if living audaciously and going after the things you want means you have to have this balance in your head of thinking you matter so much and also not at all?
Oh my gosh.
Because really, no one's ever looking at you. Like, well, in news, they were looking at you, but you feel like all the eyes are on you all the time and they aren't. So in that sense, you need to know that you don't matter, but also you matter enough to just go after the things you want and grab them and ask for them and take them.
Yeah. And as you said that, I realized if we're talking about showing up online, we're recording ourselves and we're seeing our content over and our mistakes over and over and over again. So I think it's interesting that I brought up TV because it's like me watching those old clips over and over and over. So if you've messed up, it's like, yeah, it's a hard go. But at the end of the day, like, I think people see the humanity in that and they connect with people way better.
Oh, yeah. We think that we need to be perfect in order for people to like respect us, yeah, to think that we're professionals, to trust that we know how to do our job. But my social media grew when I started leaning into imperfections, pointing out the stains on my shirt and commenting on how I hadn't washed my hair.
Yes.
And then people were just like, oh, you now feel accessible instead of putting an influencer up on a pedestal.
I know.
I could do it. And so for me, I was starting to think maybe I needed more aspirational content and I needed to position myself as someone a little bit fancier than I truly am. Okay. And then I kind of just didn't and accidentally swung full speed in the other direction. Yeah. I don't even know that it was a conscious decision I made, but then people started relating to me a heck of a lot more. So while we're out there aiming for perfection or fearing that we'll look stupid or worried, yeah, that all the eyes are on us and they're judging us or beating ourselves up for making mistakes, mm-hmm, maybe those things are actually your assets.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the richest people I know don't give a flying thing.
Yes. That's the main message here. The richest people don't give a flying thing. The people who get what they want don't give a flying, yes, thing. The, yes, person who is asking if they, yes, can be moved to a table closer to the stage, yeah, don't give a flying thing. Like, we're still respecting the people around, yeah, us, but we're balancing knowing we matter and knowing nobody's looking anyway.
You know, I did a stint as an entertainment reporter and I was on red carpets. And I know, Jenna, you've been around many red carpets doing PR. But the worst celebrities were the ones who are not the A-listers. They're the ones that are like the D-list. They're the ones that treat people badly. They're the ones that are very self-conscious. They don't have the confidence. But oh my God, the Matt Damon, Clint Eastwood, they are themselves. They weren't as fancy. They were generous with their energy. And I think they've reached a point where they know that none of that matters. You don't have to put something on.
Okay. So how would you approach going to a red carpet and talking to somebody that you've been watching on TV since you were a little kid? How did you muster the confidence to be face-to-face with these people putting a microphone in front of them?
I tell myself I am just as good as them. And I hyper-casualize the conversation. I made things so as if we're best friends already. And I think looking back, it's a defense mechanism, but I would throw a funny comment at them as if we're just catching up. You know what I mean? I never gave them the chance for there to be a dynamic that did scare me, which would be that they're better than me.
Ah, so just approach everyone like you're equal. And really we are.
We are. That's the thing. These celebrities are exhausted by being put on a pedestal that they feel like is silly. I mean, I still remember Ryan Gosling mid-sentence with me. There's girls screaming, Ryan, in the background. And he turned around and looked at them and he looked at me and he went, it's so weird. And I was like, that guy is still shy. He's still this dude from like a small town in Ontario or wherever he's from. You don't leave that person behind. He still finds it strange. It's strange to be on a different pedestal. So if you're asking for a job from a CEO of a company and you walk in and you're all sheepish and you're like, sorry, sir. Oh, I hope you can spare a minute of my time. It's like this immediate dynamic that you don't know that that's how that person wants to be treated.
Okay, so now we have another tool in our tool belt, I feel. You're going up and you're approaching, say, that dream client. Mm-hmm. Instead of putting them on a pedestal, know that they will be made more comfortable if you have confidence in yourself and in the question you're asking. And know that if they say no, don't take it personally. Yes. Because like you said, there's the people that their job is to say yes or no and make decisions for their own selves and what's best for them. So we approach it like we're equal. We know that we're equal. Mm-hmm. We know that no harm comes from hearing a no and be confident in order to make them more comfortable. Because I know for a lot of, especially women and the type of women that I work with as service providers, one of the best changes you can make in your marketing is to know it's not about you. It's for other people. And that makes your content better, but it also makes it mentally so much more easy. Mm. So if you know that you're being confident for their sake,
in your head?
Yes. It's a way to put a purpose outside of yourself that you might be more comfortable with. Yeah, I like that a lot. I really like that. I think there's something to stating your purpose. I think if someone is sucking up to me, and we're not stupid as humans, like we're picking up unconscious signals. So if someone's sucking up to me, pouring on the compliments and making me feel maybe better than I think is appropriate for the moment, I'm going to be like, what do you want? So if that person instead states what they want from me, then we have a conversation. Saying what you want is not going to be seen as like selfish or something in that moment. I mean, it's all transactional anyway. So if you can state what you want and then move on and have a really great conversation where you become friends, then I think it's much more comfortable for that person.
Sometimes having a lack of confidence hits me in weird ways, and I'm not confident in situations that you would think would be simple, maybe, or simple for other people.
It's amazing to me that we were out for dinner and then I like hung up everyone's coat on the hook across the room and you're like, wow, I wouldn't have done that. It was too far away.
No, I sat on my coat because I was way too nervous to get up and go over to the coat rack. Like I said, at that event where you went up to the front to, I just put on my publicist hat. And when I was a publicist, I got to like hide in the wings. And most people I don't think would guess that that would be my personality. But in those scary scenarios, I feel much better supporting someone else.
Right.
So like, you moving forward to ask for the influencer seats, like I'm like, I'll just hang out over here. I literally held her coat. I was like, can I hold your coat? I felt safer in the corner holding her coats versus asking for something.
Well, it's like someone is gonna sit in those seats. Why not me? And someone can tell me why not me. I don't mind. I'm not gonna be pouty about it and I'll walk away. But there have been so many scenarios where I ask for things and I get them just because I'm the one that asked.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Yeah. I think my mom was like that as also growing up. So I had a role model of someone who was just like, I don't know, let's find out. And maybe that's part of it. The let's find out.
Yeah.
You know what? I heard this recently. Gamify your life.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that fun? I think it's way better to think of your life as a game. And at the end of the day, like... If there are real things that are scary, like you're not going to do them. If it's really threatening to your life, you're not going to, like, I think we have this fear sometimes of, well, what if I allow myself to do that, then who knows, like what other risks will pop up around it or the floodgates will open and whatever it is we think is going to happen. But gamifying your life, we're like, ooh, let's find out if we can get this thing. That's going to be a fun task for me today.
Okay, so let's give everyone a challenge for the week to wrap up. Let's see. This week, your mission, dear listener, is to ask for something that's not yours.
Love that.
It could be like extra whipped cream.
Yep. Yeah.
One time I just asked my mom, she had a sweater and I was like, can I have that? And she's like, okay. She's just
okay.
Okay. Well, I guess if you want it.
You know what I asked for that I actually got one time that still hangs downstairs and I'm very proud of it. So I was at a live show. It was the Sam Roberts Band and we're at the Soho House in Toronto. It's a very upscale place. Like I was just invited. I had no reason to be there outside if I just like, you know, was like trailing my friend. And they wrapped up their set and they were packing up and I struck up a conversation with the band member. Again, like, why are we assuming that this can't happen? Like, it's a dude. It's fine. So I'm chatting with one of the band members and he has this red tambourine and he goes, this is Sam's tambourine. And I'm like, I love that you guys incorporate so much tambourine in your music. I think it's like such a cool, I don't know. I've never had a tambourine. So I start telling him how I want a tambourine. And he just handed it to me.
Are you sure he wasn't just like letting you see it?
He did. He handed it to me. And I think I said as a joke, can I have it? And he said, sure.
And I still to this day have this Sam Roberts tambourine. And I'm just like, that is a prime example of I just asked for it.
And Sam's like, ugh, I hate Toronto. Someone stole my tambourine.
Totally. They've never been back since.
Oh, Gina, you're an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, no worries. Thanks.
Where can people go to find out more about you and follow you?
Oh, have you heard of Instagram?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so Instagram.com. My handle is at Gina Louise Phillips.
Perfect. And we'll put it in the show notes.
Amazing. Thanks, Jenna.
Bye.